Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries right here in the Northwest region of Arkansas. It is January 2nd, 2018. Happy New Year to everybody. And we're going to begin today's broadcast with some scripture right out of the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, beginning in verse 25. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. A message that is very difficult for a lot of people to really wrap their minds around and their hearts around, but a message that is so liberating, so freeing. Jesus was telling the creation, listen, go after God, everything else will fall into alignment. I'm hoping today that as you're out maybe about your business, you're at the workplace, we have a lot of people listening from the workplace, that you recognize that workplace to be a benefit from God. If that is a place of provision that God has set you up at while you're being trained up and ready to enter into this end time army, and that you are just receiving the benefit and the blessing of the workplace. And yes, the Word of God is very aggressive in its call to men to work and to have something to give and all these different things. God never advocates laziness at any level. And he says to the one that does not work at all that it's a busybody and this is not good. It gives a lot of opportunity for the devil. Everybody should be working. That is the truth. Whatever work it is that God has put in your heart to sustain your life. But again, the idea is that seek first the kingdom of God and remember, you came into this world. I came into this world how? Naked. We took nothing into this world, right? And the Bible assures us that we're not taking anything out. They may put some clothes on that dead body, but they're not going either. They will turn into dust in that grave. So the only thing that we're leaving this earth with, dear friends, is what treasure has come into our hearts. And if Christ has become the treasure of your heart, and you've been born again, and you've received the Holy Spirit, your eternal soul is going to go on. My eternal soul is going to go on. And the volition of the Spirit of God, the energy of God's Spirit, is going to resurrect us and bring us into a place that He's gone to prepare for you and I. So what is the admonition today? Well, it's very simple. We are to live one day at a time. And for all my friends out there today, I want to share this little song with you.
One day at a time, sweet Jesus, I'm only human, I'm just a woman, help me believe in what I could be and all that I am. Show me the stairway I have to climb. Lord, for my sake, teach me to take one day at a time. One day at a time, sweet Jesus, that's all I'm asking from you. Just give me the strength to do every day what I have to do. Yesterday's gone, sweet Jesus, and tomorrow may never be mine. Lord, help me today, show me the way one day at a time. Remember when you walked among men? Well, Jesus, you know, if you're looking below, it's worse now than then. Cheating and stealing, violence and crime. Teach me to take one day at a time. One day at a time, sweet Jesus, that's all I'm asking from you. Just give me the strength to do every day what I have to do. Yesterday's gone, sweet Jesus, and tomorrow may never be mine. Lord, help me today, show me the way, one day
at a
time.
Someone say, save your day job. But she is amazing. That's Christy Lane with One Day at a Time. You got to love it, ladies and gentlemen. That is the message for 2018, that you and I must conduct ourselves and live one day at a time. It is the message that Jesus taught. It's good. I mean, it's always good to have the prophetic insight of the future if it's real. to understand what tomorrow may bring, what the future is all about, how to prepare for the future. And there are some really excellent key concepts when we talk about living one day at a time. And one of them is the simple idea, going back to Matthew 24, is that Jesus says we can have only one master. Now think about this. We live in a materialistic society where many people serve money. They spend all their lives collecting and storing it, only to die and leave it behind. And then you remember what Solomon said, the great preacher in Ecclesiastes, you don't know if you're leaving it behind to a wise son or a foolish son, right? So their desire for money and what it can buy far outweighs their commitment to God and spiritual matters. Whatever you store up, you will spend much of your time and energy thinking about. So don't fall into the materialistic trap, because the love of money is the root of all evil. Can you honestly say that God and not money is your master? One test is to ask which one occupies more of your thoughts, time, and efforts. And remember, Jesus contrasted heavenly values with earthly values when he explained that our first loyalty should be to those that do not fade, cannot be stolen or used up, and never wear out. We should not be fascinated with our possessions lest they possess us. This means we may have to do some cutting back if our possessions are becoming too important to us. Jesus is calling for a decision that allows us to live contentedly with whatever we have, because we have chosen what is eternal and lasting. And then finally, some of these great thoughts. To seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness means to turn to him first for help, to fill your thoughts with his desires, to take his character for your pattern, and to serve and obey him in everything. What is really important to you? People, objects, goals, and other desires all compete for priority. Any of these can actually and quickly bump God out of first place if you don't actively choose to give him first place in every area of your life. So planning for tomorrow is time well spent. Worrying about tomorrow is time wasted. Sometimes it's difficult to tell the difference. Careful planning is thinking ahead about goals, steps, and schedules, and trusting in God's guidance. When done well, planning can help alleviate worry. The worrier, by contrast, is consumed by fear and finds it difficult to trust God. The worrier lets his plans interfere with his relationship with God. So don't let worries about tomorrow affect your relationship with God today. Yes, there are two camps, the worriers and the warriors. And the end time warriors are going to be people that are completely sold out and devoted to the cause of Christ in the earth today. We know God has a lot on his mind that he wants to get done. And I want to share with you again some musings of my heart. I want to go back to Genesis chapter 7. And some of you are going to love this number here. Genesis 7-11. 7-11. I remember a grocery store called 7-11. Little mini market, one of the first actually, next to AM/PM. But anyways, Genesis chapter 7:11. I want to see with the concept. First, let me just firmly root this down in our thinking today, that we are going to be a people that are pursuing God first, spiritual matters first, getting wisdom from God on how to deal with our daily grind, right? Daily life, thank God. It doesn't have to be a grind. I have to take that back. Not our daily grind, but our daily activities, life, because it could be a real blessing. And we just want the wisdom of God. And wherever the wisdom of God is imparted, you're going to find the blessing of God has started. There's no doubt about that. So Genesis chapter 7, I want to begin in verse 10. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. Now listen to verse 11. This is Genesis 7:11. This is in your Bible, okay? In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day. So here we have an actual time frame in the Word of God, the 600th year of Noah's life. And then it tells us in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. So I was just doing a little looking around in my Hebrew calendar, and I love the Hebrew calendar, as you know. In the Gregorian calendar, which is a man-made calendar, okay, 2018 began yesterday. Yesterday was the first day of the new year, 2018. Now, as a believer, something that you should allow yourself to consider, as I do, is that there is another calendar in the earth today. In fact, the calendar that I'm going to refer to is connected to God's calendar in the heavens. All right? So when you and I look up at the sun, moon, and stars and the planets, we remember Genesis 1:14 that God put the sun, moon, stars for times and seasons. In other words, God set his calendar in the heavens. But I also found it absolutely beautiful that the Hebrew word for lights in Genesis 1:14 literally refers to a chandelier. So God has decorated the earth with a chandelier in the heavens, giving light to the earth. I mean, it's so beautiful when you think about God constructing and building the universe, and then he puts the planet that we live on called Earth in the center of the universe, and then he decorates it with the stars, the sun, the moon, to give light on the earth, and it literally means a chandelier. You got to love that. So, well, God has a chandelier over us, but within the context of that chandelier, it is for times and seasons. In other words, it is a calendar that we should be able to look at. Now, in that calendar, we find what is known as the Hebrew calendar. Okay, the Hebrew calendar is more based on the moon. And so we get back into the stars, we get back into the sun and all these different things. So when we hear things like the second month and the 17th day of the month, well, we go to the second month. We know the first month in the Hebrew calendar is Nisan. Nisan. And that Nisan is normally around March and April. But here's a funny thing. Today, we're looking at the second day of 2018. But in reality, in God's calendar, we are still in the year 5777. Okay? I'm speaking completely biblically here, not the ideas and traditions of the rabbis who consider Rosh Hashanah in September and October to be the new civil year and all of that. We're talking about God making it abundantly clear that the first day of the first month is the beginning of the year. And that's in Exodus chapter 12. We can look at that. And it's so clear throughout Scripture. So now we're still in the year 5778. Now, the first day of the first month this year, okay, the new year that's coming, 5778, will actually be March 17th. March 17th. So if you look at the Gregorian calendar and you circle March 17th, that will be the first day of the first month, Nisan. That's when 5778 will commence. That'll be the beginning of 5778. Don't get confused. If you go back to September 30th, 2017, that's when they say 5778 began. But that is rabbinical tradition. That is not biblical. Okay? Biblically, day of the first month is going to be on March 17th. All right, so that's just interesting, just for food for thought. What does it mean? We're living one day at a time, but food for thought. Now, we read in the book of Genesis that the heavens were opened. We read that the foundations of the great deep were broken up, and all of a sudden the flood was released. And it literally tells us the day that began, which is on the 17th day of the second month. Now, the second month in the Hebrew calendar is Iyar. Iyar. That's I-Y-A-R. And it turns out that the 17th day of the second month, and that's exactly what Genesis says, that it was in the second month and the 17th day of the month in the 600 years of Noah's life, that these flood of waters came. Everything was broken up. So this year, it will be on May 2nd. All right, so mark that in your calendar if you can. Put that down. May 2nd this year, which is the second month of the year 5778, that's what is ahead of us, that is the day to remember that the Bible actually says is the day that judgment was released. Noah and his family had entered into the ark, the door was shut, and on the 17th day of the second month, according to God's calendar in the heavens, the flood came, and that flood represented judgment on the world. Now, what is interesting, as Noah entered into his ark, 5778, the Hebrew number for 5778 is get under the wing, come under the covering, which is the Psalm 91 admonition. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my God, in Him will I trust. So we have the Psalm 91, He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. And that's the exact meaning of the year 5778, covered with feathers, under the wing, speaking of divine protection. And so it's very interesting that this year, May 2nd, is the day that everything began to be released. There was a release of judgment, and it continued on raining for 40 more days. We know that. Now, what I also want to get into is how much time was actually spent here. So let's go now to Genesis chapter 8 and look at verse 13. So consider this. Consider these thoughts. That on the 17th day of the second month, all the foundations of the deep were broken up, and the heavens were open, the rain came, and it continued to rain for 40 days, and we know what happened from there on. Now, that happened in the 600th year of Noah's life. Now, in verse 13 of Genesis chapter 8, here's what it says. It came to pass in the 601st year, so now we're a year down the road, listen to this now, in the first month, the first day of the month. Now, what is the first month? It's Nisan. What is the first day of the month? It's the new year. All right, so we're now in the 601st year of Noah's life, and he's talking about the genuine first day of the first month, which is the beginning of a new year. It's a new season, right? So we have here that it came to pass in the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, the waters were dried up from off the earth. All right, so a new beginning is ready to dawn. And Noah removed the covering of the ark. So it was time to come out of the ark. It was time to come out from the covering. And then he looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. Now listen, verse 14. And in the second month, that's when it began a year earlier, on the 27th day of the month, so it began on the 17th day of the second month, but here, a year later, plus 10 days, the 27th day of the second month, was the earth dried, and God spoke unto Noah, saying, go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee, bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee of all flesh, both of fowl and of cattle. So God is literally speaking a year and 10 days later, after the time of judgment, for Noah to come out into a brand new existence. Now, what does all this mean? Well, the 27th day of the second month this year, all right, that would be the year of ER again. So we already know that the 17th day a year earlier is what would be May 2nd this year. And then you would get into the following year on May or the 27th day. And that 27th day is actually a Sunday or actually a Saturday. And that would be on the 12th, on the 12th. So we're just from the 2nd to the 12th, there's that extra 10 days there. And that's when everything begins new. So what is this all about? Why are we even talking about this today? Well, number one, I think it's amazing that the Bible teaches us that the end is revealed from the beginning. Is that what the Word of God says in Isaiah? Absolutely. The end is revealed from the beginning, or God from the beginning declares the end. From the beginning declares the end. So what is the beginning? Have you ever thought about that? When it says, for example, and God gave us all these dates to look at, when it says in Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, what is the beginning? Well, everything of God, it starts in his calendar, and the beginning of a year is what? The beginning of a year is the first day of the first month, Nisan. And that's why on the first day of the first month, that's when the waters were dried up off the face of the earth, right? And it was the beginning of a year. That is the year. Let's go to Exodus chapter 12 just to confirm this fact, by the way. Exodus chapter 12, this is God speaking to a people that have been locked up in the Egyptian house of bondage for such a long time. And so God speaks, and he says this in Exodus chapter 12, verse 1. The Lord spoke unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, you shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him be the neighbor next unto him, and let him take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. So what is this talking about? This is talking about Passover. This is literally the beginning of what God instructed Moses to tell the children of Israel, who had had a major blackout of their understanding of the purposes of God being in the house of bondage for 400 some odd years. So God is now speaking to them in the realm of Passover. We know that Passover is on the 14th day of the first month. So when God says here at the beginning that this month shall be unto you the beginning of months, it shall be the first month of the first year to you. So the first day of the first month is the beginning of a year, according to God, for his people, according to his calendar. So when we go back to the beginning of Genesis, where it says, in the beginning created. In the beginning, God created. Well, is God subjecting himself to his calendar of time? Is there a mystery to be revealed in the beginning? And does the beginning actually declare the end? In other words, what happened at the beginning, will it be fulfilled in the end? Well, that's what the Word of God says. So again, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void. And you know that the two Hebrew words without form and void, those are two Hebrew words meaning tohu and bohu. And tohu and bohu are very clearly not good words. They literally talk about misery, and they talk about waste, and they talk about worthless and vain, and they talk about empty and ruin. I mean, those words, when the earth was without form and void, when it was tohu and bohu, and then darkness was upon the face of the deep, that word darkness is koshek, meaning misery, destruction, death, ignorance, sorrow, wickedness. I mean, these words carry character with them, not just, ideas of you know, what things were like, but the darkness had a character. It had misery, sorrow, wickedness, destruction, ignorance, and death. And Tohu and Bohu carried with it the idea of empty, ruin, waste, and desolation, and worthless, and vain, and confusion. I mean, those are the characteristics of Satan. And yet it was at that moment, at the beginning, that God said what? Let there be light. And that word light, we've talked about again, means happiness. It means illumination. It means bright. It means clear. It means to set on fire and shake. And so at the beginning, we're going to find at the end of time, what is it going to be like? Darkness once again is descending upon the mind of man, right? It's happening in our generation. We're witnessing a total eclipse of light through legislation, through laws, through the insanity that's going on, through all these different mechanisms of artificial intelligence, television, internet, all these different things going on. Men's hearts are becoming unrestrained because the Holy Spirit has been rebuked by mankind, if you will. The spirit of man has said to the spirit of God, we don't want you. And so the restraining power of God upon the human nature to keep men in check so that as to not offend their creator is departing. And what men are finding is there's no longer restraint to their human passions, their beast nature. And so the beast nature and the fallen nature of man is just effulgencing. It's moving out, and you're seeing it in all this corruption that is manifesting around the world. And it's not over yet. It's just starting to boil, believe me. The ugliness of fallen human nature under the control of demonic possession is going to be so egregious and outrageous to creation and to God himself that this darkness is going to be intense. Now, we're told that we are the light of the world. Jesus is the light, but we are lights in the world, just like we are salt in the world. And we're to let our light so shine before men that they see our good works and glorify God. We are the children of the day. We are not children of the night. And the light that is in us is Christ. It's not our own reasoning, wisdom. It's not the light of the world. It's not, you know, the world's wisdom. It's Christ. He is our light. And the oil is the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit relationship is the continual ability to keep our lights burning. Now, darkness is going to cover the earth and gross darkness the people. In the last days, there's going to be major darkness. Read the book of Revelation. It's all there. Read Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21. I mean, things are going to get out of control, and Satan is going to be orchestrating this out-of-control environment. And yet, at the very end, God said something at the beginning. Yes, there will be death. Yes, there is ignorance. Yes, there is sorrow. Yes, there is wickedness. Yes, there is koshek, darkness. Yes, there is tohu. Yes, there is bohu. Yes, there is confusion and waste and ruin and emptiness and vanity and all of these things, desolation. These things do exist, and they're going to be even more so because that's what the Bible says. But at a time when darkness is prevailing upon the earth, God said, let there be light. And it will happen again at the very end of time. So, you know, why did I just share some of these musings with you? I think it's interesting, 2018, the actual number in the Greek and in the Hebrew. Let's look at the Hebrew number, 2018. It literally means destruction. If you go, and this is interesting because the Hebrew number 5778 in the Hebrew calendar means get under the wing. Get under the covering, Psalm 91, get into the ark, just like Noah did in his time, right? Because it was in the second month on the 17th day that the judgment came. So he entered into his ark. God is telling the people, the time will come. You better get in that ark, and you should do it now. Be dwelling in the secret place so you don't get caught off guard, okay? Then this 5778, which is where we're coming to here on March 20th, remember that, March 20th, we are going to be, let me just confirm my facts here. It's March 17th or 20th. It should be March 20th. And so, yes, March 17th, I take it back. March 17th, 5778 begins. That's when God says in the Hebrew number, get into the ark, get under the wing. March 17th, get under the wing, get into the ark. Then May 2nd, the floods came. Make sure you're under the wing, 5778. Now, in the context of the year 2018, in the Hebrew, that means destruction. It means to overthrow and to overturn. And, of course, you have to be balanced in your thinking to think, okay, Lord, if you're telling your people on the one hand, get into the ark, and then on the other hand, you're saying it's a time of destruction, overthrowing, and overturning things, well, that sounds like the, you know, the foundations of the deep being broken up and the windows of heaven opening and the judgment coming. Even though we know it's not literal physical water that's going to be the judgment in the last days, it's going to be fire. And that's according to 2 Peter chapter 3, that the earth that now is reserved unto fire and perdition of ungodly men in the day of judgment. All right, so we're coming to another day of judgment. We're living in the days of Noah. We're living in the last days. Jesus said the last days would be like the days of Noah. So he said, prepare your ark. And here is wisdom that the planner who plans well will alleviate worry down the road. The worrier that's trying to get things done is going to fail in his planning. So how do we, what has God been telling us to do for years now? God has been telling many people in this world, around the world, build your ark, get yourself ready, get yourself prepared. Now, have these scriptures existed every year for the last 6,000 years? Yes. This is something we commemorate, we look back at, but now we're lining things up with the numbers in the Hebrew calendar. We are going to be in the year 5777. Watch this now. We're going to be in the year 5777 all the way up until March 16th. Now think about that. Up until March 16th, we will be in the year 5777. Now, the next day, March 17th, will be the first day of the first month. And that's where 5778 comes in. And that's where God says, get under the wing. So what does the number 5777 mean again? 5777 means gray, lead, pulverize. We've been saying for a while within the year 5777 that there would be, now watch this, don't give up on this yet. In the year 5777, gray, lead, pulverize, we would be in a cycle of war. The potential for war is real in the cycle that we're in. But we looked at these numbers, 5777, and isn't it interesting that we go all the way back to Genesis chapter 5, all right, look at Genesis chapter 5 and verse 28. Here's what we read. And Lamech lived 182 years and begot a son, and he called his name Noah. All right, he called his name Noah. This same, he said, shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord has cursed. Now listen, and Lamech, Noah's father, lived after he begot Noah 595 years and begot sons and daughters, and all the days of Lamech were 777. 777, and he died. And Noah was 500. So 500, 777, the numbers 5777 are revealed in Genesis chapter 5 with the father of Noah to bring Noah forth for his generation. Noah was 500 years. His dad was 777. Now, when did Noah enter into the ark? He entered in when he was 600. So 100 years after he brought forth his son Noah, did they enter into the ark. Now, time has changed, as you know. People don't live to be 600 years old today. You know, time has been so brought down to a low ebb of 80, 70, 90. If you're really good, you get to 100 and some extra years there. But we certainly don't live to be 900, 800, 700, 600, 500. It just doesn't happen anymore. So in the condensing of time, there's some mysteries here. Now, someone would say, you know, what is all this numerology about? And I would just ask you to consider something when we talk about these numbers. Because, again, these are just a a time of musing, thinking about things, putting some ideas out there and concepts of growing and building and maybe some revelation of the Holy Spirit. We should never be afraid to look at God's numbers when he puts them in the Bible. He wrote a book called Numbers, for goodness sake, right? And also, if we were not supposed to understand numbers, why in the book of Revelation would he put, now here is wisdom, and he who has a wise mind will understand the number of the man is 666. I mean, why would God tell us that wisdom understands what those numbers are? Now, should we become, you know, mathematicians and try to figure things out? I could tell you from experience, don't do it. It's not, you'll never get absolute unadulterated truth by mathematics. Okay. However, there are these little clues along the way that we get to talk about. And so when you put some of these things together, the year 5777, you put together that that means gray lead pulverize, that that's going to last until March 16th. On March 17th, you better get into the ark. I mean, that's 5778, get under the wing, right? And then the commencement of what 5778 will bring in the year 2018, where there is destruction, overthrow, and overturning of things. Now, on the positive side, as we said last week, one of the most positive things that could happen in the world is talk about overthrowing things, well, or overturning things, is to see Roe versus Wade in America overturned, or to see the legislation of the homosexual community overturned, not giving license, not saying this is normal for a man to marry a man. Get that idea out of the psyche of our nation. That would be a very good thing to overturn. But I have a sense that we're living at a time where something much more calamitous is on the horizon. So what is 2018 going to be? I believe that God has been saying through this radio ministry that there are many of you out there that have an assignment to hurry up the things of God, because he's about to quicken the pace, because he's got things he's got to get done. He's going to cut his work short in the last days. He wants to save souls. He wants to bring as many into the kingdom as he possibly can. And he also wants this work preparation completed. He wants everything completed. So as we're going about our Father's business and bringing light and wisdom and truth and understanding to men's hearts and minds, illuminating them, bringing them out of darkness unto salvation, you know, we continue to prepare what God has told us to do. We continue to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. We continue to live one day at a time, but we do have a plan. Even though we're living one day at a time, we still have a plan that God has given us. Prepare your ark, go out and save souls, get a strategy, and look at some of these numbers, if for no other reason than to just see law, to contemplate and say, well, Lord, I don't understand what it all means, but you're revealing it for some reason. Right here in the beginning, 5777, we're in the year 5777. You know, the great judgment in the days of Noah happened on the 17th day of the second month, and we're looking at that today, because you revealed the end from the beginning. And, you know, where are we? Some people are saying we're ready to enter into the seven-year tribulation period, or we already began at the solar eclipse. And what does that mean? What does the world look like? Well, today we see Iran in battle with its another. You know, the government over there is going through turmoil. I don't believe we've seen the end of turmoil in the United States of America. I don't think we've even begun to see anything but flare-ups is all we've seen. We haven't seen detonation anywhere. There's been no detonation anywhere to speak of. The real detonation is in the nuclear blast that will come through nuclear war, or will come through cometary impact, or some other form of natural disaster. And we've seen a lot of natural disasters, but these haven't been the big kabooms. They have been the simple flare-ups, kind of like volcanoes that every once in a while they spew a little bit, but they're not blowing altogether. Ladies and gentlemen, something has got to blow. Something has got to go. And I know that all of our thoughts about what we think we know horizontally, that if we're not looking up into the heavens, if we're not understanding the calendar of God, if we're not pursuing the kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, if we're not, you know, seeing things from his perspective, which I believe are revealed in his word, well, we might be a little short-sighted. Now, have I said once in this program that on the 17th day of March, judgment's going to hit the earth? No, I didn't say that. I didn't say that at all. You know, all I'm saying is that God is showing some things in the Bible that should be of interest to us. I mean, it should be interesting that these things are actually revealed. And there's so much more. So the admonition, study the word of God. And if God is revealing the end of this world from the beginning, well, we should go back to the beginning. And by going back to the beginning, we should have wisdom and understanding about what's happening in the world today. Because what's happening today is no different than what it was back then. There's nothing new under the sun. There were days in the days of Noah that were so wicked, God flooded the earth. Men's imaginations were just absolutely wicked from his time of youth. Now, is that the same today? Yes, that's what's happening. Look at our youth. Look what's happening to their souls and their minds through the images that they're seeing everywhere. Yes, it's getting that way again. So just understand that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's kind of my commentary for this day. And I wonder if you're out there today, if you have any thoughts about this conversation, the number to call is 818-369-0326. Would love to hear from you. And you may say, Pastor, how much pizza did you have last night? And I'll tell you, I only had two slices, but I did make it to bed by 10:30. But anyways, 818-369-0326. Would love to hear your thoughts and comments on today's broadcast. All you have to do is when you dial the number, 818-369-0326, is press 1 on your dial pad, and I'll make sure to bring you right in to the conversation. What are we saying today? I believe that the Spirit of God is, well, let's take our first call. And good morning on this second day of January, 2018. According to the Gregorian calendar, Pastor Ken Wagner, how are you today, sir?
Well, praise the Lord, we're alive and well, we're functioning and becoming overcomers. That's where we are today. You know, Pastor, I couldn't help but be, and I kind of culminate on what you're talking about, is at the end of Matthew 6 on there, where the Lord says, do not worry or be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will have worries and anxieties of its own. Sufficient for each day is its own trouble. You know, and how I look at that, in light of all the things that you're saying, get yourself prepared for what is going on today. Remedy the situations that are confronting you, that are confronting each of us on here, and get them taken care of, because then we'll be able to go ahead and face what goes on tomorrow. If we don't do those things today, tomorrow will be doubly proportional in its problems and its worries, because we haven't dealt with the things that are going on around us today. But if you're set and ready to go, we can face what's going to come tomorrow. And that's kind of the way I look at what he's saying here and what Jesus is saying and what you're saying, some of the same things. Once we're prepared and done all that we need to go ahead and do, then we can stand.
And what a gracious way to live life without worrying about tomorrow. That word worry, taking thought for, he says, you know, you're not going to grow at all. You're not going to mature in your development as a believer if worry has captivated your heart. Don't be worried about anything. Don't be concerned about anything, but in everything, pray and seek the face of God for every desire. Ask the Lord whatever you're asking of him, ask in faith, and really turn things into a time of prayer, so that, you know, we have to empty ourselves out of worry. Every true warrior, according to Timothy, does not entangle himself with the things of this world. No soldier entangles himself with the things of this world. And as end time soldiers in the army of God, we are so committed to the cause of Christ that we're not living for ourselves. And unfortunately, we live in a world where everybody's living for themselves. But Jesus says, if you'll come out and you'll be a soldier in my end time army, seek my will first and live for my advantage in the earth, well, then I'll make sure I take care of all your needs. And that's how it is in the military. Pastor Ken, you were in the military. You went out there and you fought for the country, and your needs were met. You didn't have to go get a job, you know, to make sure you had food. The military took care of you. And I believe that Jesus is saying to his army on the earth, if you'll put God first, he'll make sure that he gets the provision that is necessary, and your mind will only be in the service of his advancement and his will in the earth within your lifetime to do what God has assigned you to do.
Well, you know, Pastor, it's a good point that you're bringing up with the military on there, because the military training, they prepared you for what was coming, for what you were going to go ahead and face. And so when it happened, you were somewhat prepared. Not totally, but you were somewhat prepared for what was going to happen, because each situation you had to adapt to. And that's the same way it is with us right here. If you have worries, it can lead to anxieties, which could lead to fear if we haven't dealt with those situations biblically in our own lives. As such, then we're going to have more problems than ever, because when we have fear coming in, we literally let go of what God has for us and begin to delve into the satanic realms, where Satan could come on in and begin to affect our minds even more. So preparation, study, knowing the word, and going forth with the word and activating it in our lives will solve many of the issues and problems, just like it has, just like the Lord told us that in Matthew 6:34.
Yeah, and you know what's interesting about what you're saying is that, you know, fear, anxiety, stress, worry, you know, these all create disorders in our human physical body. You've seen people that are terrified, they chew their nails, or nervous anxiety, people tear at their skin. People overeat because of an inward condition. They just keep eating and eating. And what they're not recognizing is that, you know, this is connected to a disorder of some spiritual problem going on in your life. You know, people get angry. Where does the anger come from? It's emanating from something that's happening on the inside of you. So it is that there are many people that are very physically sick and are actually looking like a dysfunction. Their lives look like there's something out of order, because they're not prospering and they're not being blessed and they're not healthy and they're not vibrant, and they don't recognize that their habits are coming from deep within. And maybe it's as simple as just having real anxiety, but pride says, no, I'm not anxious about anything, but they eat like they are anxious, or they're angry like they're afraid, or, you know, they drink or they smoke. You ever see people that have smoked and they just chain smoke because there's something in there that they are feeding? There's something creating that tension, that environment. So the admonition to the body of Christ in this moment is shake off worry. And I'll tell you another thing that is so important to this moment, Pastor Ken, and I believe you would concur with this. Do not carry any unforgiveness in your heart towards anybody. Do not carry any unforgiveness in your heart towards anybody. It is so imperative. You have to remember, the devil, through offense, is actually trying to get people not to forgive so that he could put them in a trap. So the devil will bring these events into our life that will cause us to be offended, and if we take the bait of his offense, we fall into the trap, and the purposes of God are delayed once again. So in 2018, you and I do not want to be delayed in the purpose of God, which means if there's any bitter resentment, if there's any offense or unforgiveness, if there's something in us that we just don't like what they did to us, and we're carrying that, the devil doesn't have to do another thing to interfere with God's purpose, because he's already done it. So my admonition to everybody this year is to work out this part of our salvation by forgiving on purpose everybody that has insulted us, everybody that has been offensive to us. I mean, it's true. You have been an offense to the work of God in my life, you could say. And yet that is not an excuse to carry the offense. Get out of the trap and march forward in the purpose of God. He's got an assignment for you. He's got a job for you to do. And work out these disorders, this dysfunctional way of living. Overeating is a disorder. Bring the body under submission by getting rid of the worry and by getting rid of the concern. Let's take this next call coming in from 479-715. Good morning. You're on the air. Welcome to the broadcast.
Good morning, Pastor Vincent. How are you doing today?
Hey, Brother Randolph, how are you doing today?
Oh, today is a very beautiful, wonderful day in the second year of 2018, and I'm just
today,
listening
right?
to what you have to say. You know what? I was listening, and you're right about one thing. You and Pastor Ken were right about one thing, fear. Fear. It's not healthy for the body of Christ. They don't think. And if you're not prepared, things won't go right. And I was reading in Hebrews 3, and it says, Hebrews 3, I'm going to start in 6. It says, but Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are, are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works for 40 years. Wherefore, I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do alway err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. And all that saying is, you know, we shouldn't harden our hearts on what Father God is saying to us, and what we need to be able to do, not only for one another, but for Father God to be able to bring the remnant of his sons and daughters to be able to come into that ark on what you're saying.
Man, Randolph, that is some great preaching, brother, and I totally agree. And, you know, a thought came into my mind as you were speaking, you know, because that rest is a solvent to the anxiety in our lives. But when we're talking about entering into the worry, the answer to fear, the answer to all of these problems is love. And I believe that God is saying in the day in which we live, that is how we're going to be successful, is when we walk forward in love, forgiving one another, caring for one another, praying for one another, and just doing this for the glory of God. Outstanding scriptures, Brother Randolph. Way to go. Man, and I appreciate your voice on the air today.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. All right. Well, you know, you're getting these great calls coming in. Pastor Ken, your thoughts about what you just heard.
This is Pastor Peggy, Pastor Vincent. I just wanted to share something that, again, just last evening, God made it so clear. We know we're not supposed to hold on to offenses and what it does. And we had just in our own lives, Ken and I just had a situation where I had said something and he walked off. He was not happy. And I could feel it rising up in me that I was going to, you know, that I was like, oh, come on. And I checked it right away. I said, I will not take an offense. This will not happen. And an immediate peace flooded my body. And God was just showing me the importance of not holding on to any offense, the tiniest little thing, because it was such a, I mean, not only in my mind, my entire body, there was a wave of comfort, peace, and joy.
Wow. Well, thank you, number one, for being vulnerable. You know, we don't oftentimes like to talk about our own personal experiences, but I heard one of the greatest preachers, I believe, in our generation. Not too many people know him, but I think he's one of the greatest preachers. And he was so honest about how the devil had been working against his life, trying to divide his marriage, you know, trying to upset everything, told him he was worthless, he was worth nothing, he was nothing but trash. And he looked in the mirror every day, and that's what came at him. And he learned to open up to another mirror, to look into the Word of God and see that he is the righteousness of God. But you see, what he was doing was becoming transparent. He was talking about his issues. And, you know, this is the humility. What you're doing right now in my is one of the most refreshing things. It's the humility. And we have been proud. The body of Christ has been proud. We have been arrogant. We have this incredible knowledge of what God's saying to us. And yet in our flesh, we get proud and we have to go through these humbling experiences. And what you just did is kind of humbled yourself, talked about it, and yet it bears witness to what everybody is going through. And as Randolph said earlier in the admonition of Hebrews, we're to encourage one another daily. We're to look out for each other's benefit. We're to make sure that everybody makes it. We don't want anybody not to make it if we have the Father's heart. And so love covers the multitude of sin. It brings peace. And that peace and that rest, Sister Peggy, is what gives our bodies a chance to heal. Now, you've been a nurse for 47 years. Is that true? Is what I'm saying true about if the inward condition of the heart, of the soul, is at peace and rest and full of the agape love of God, will it not bring a brighter physical experience?
Absolutely. I have seen, for example, you can take two people side by side, say like an accident, with the same physical injuries. The one that rests in the peace of the Lord will heal so quickly. The one that's anxious, fearful, not only will it not the healing not come about, it'll exacerbate, it'll get worse and worse. They're absolutely connected.
Wow, absolutely amazing. Well, Sister Peggy, Randolph, Pastor Ken, everybody out there listening, I have run out of time. My beloved wife is breathing right now with excitement to get on the airwaves. She's ready to go. Patricia, how are you today on this second day of January 2018, according to the Gregorian calendar, 5777 until March 17th day? How are you?
I am fine. And one of the things that really made me happy is that we're getting to understand the mysteries of God. They're literally being unraveled before our very eyes. What an incredible time we're in. And it's going to continue in that way, I just know, to become more and more effective for our living ability, because God is going to show us ways that we have not yet understood. And we have been involved with deliverance, because we believe that deliverance is the answer to get through many of these situations, and God wants us delivered. And we had discussed a number of things as of a couple of days ago before we got involved with a New Year's Eve and New Year's Day, which was a wonderful time of experience because so many wonderful prophecies came forth for the time we're in. And you know what it is? It's encouragement. It's encouraging to know that we will overcome all things. And we are the ones that God has called for a time such as this, because we're living. We could have been living years and years ago, hundreds of years ago, thousands of years ago, but he chose to have us born at this time. And he knew, because he foreknows things, that we would be alive at the coming of the Lord. And I believe he is coming in our lifetime. And I believe there are signs that prove that, including Israel becoming a true nation again. And one of the first things Jesus instructed us to do in his name was to cast out devils. And the key is to be fully knowledgeable. And therefore, that's what we're studying. We're studying how to be more aware of what already took place and what the Lord wants to do in our lives in a double portion. And we need to be fully aware of our authority as believers. And so often we have lost in this area. We have received less than what God had intended for us. And so he adopted us as sons and daughters through Jesus Christ. In John 14 through 14 says, "And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do." Do we have faith for that? Do we really believe that whatsoever we ask in his name, he will do? And he had a purpose in it. And that purpose was that the Father may be glorified in the Son. We miss that sometimes, but it's such a wonderful reality that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you ask anything in my name, he said, I will do it. In the original Greek verse, 14 literally means whatever you demand in my name. Oh my goodness, demand from God? But that's the meaning. I will see to it that it is backed up. How about that for absolute authority that has been granted to us, body of Christ? This is a wonderful understanding if we would believe it. But have we been taught it in a manner and way that makes it in our own spirit? You see, we do have it. We have what is necessary. And Jesus has promised this to us as children of God. But we must receive it. We must receive it and act upon it. So often we sit back and say, well, I better not do this or that, because what if it fails? What if I go forth and lay hands on that individual and it doesn't happen? Let me say, first of all, it isn't you doing it. You're not the one that's going to heal that individual. It is the Christ within you, if you believe he's there, that's going to heal that individual. Why? Because he did so. And he has given us the authority in his name, which is within us, to speak. So there you are. He gave us authority. We have that wonderful living trust authority, if you want to put it in that way. And it is wonderful. But we must stand knowing that we have the power and the authority through his promise and his righteousness. Otherwise, we will be afflicted with mortal and spiritual wounds and never realize the victory was already won for us on Calvary. And so we try in our own efforts, not understanding that it is his spirit within us that is causing it to work, to have manifestation of power and healing and deliverance in a new life before us. And if we are righteous because the blood of Christ has cleansed us, and because we desire not to practice sin, and I said desire, I didn't say that you will stop altogether, though it is possible. But if you have the desire, that's what the Lord sees. And you will find your authority in the name of Jesus come alive in you through faith. And that is what it will take. You will supernaturally know that all the power of heaven is backing you up. And he says in Mark 16:17 that he wants us to be free from the works of the devil in our lives and then spread this good news to others. And that is exactly what I'm trying to do. We know in our heart of hearts that Satan is no match for our beloved Jesus. We know that God gave Jesus a name at Calvary that is above every name, in heaven, under heaven, on earth, in earth. But church, we must receive this through faith. Faith in what Jesus has already demonstrated to us in the scriptures. We know that his ways are infallible. So come on. Let's gather together. Let's rise up as one body, one voice, and start healing individuals in spirit, in their minds, in their physical bodies, delivering their souls from bondage of the evil one, in their fears. Be such a wonderful unit of power and overcomers if we would just understand and believe, 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 and then activate our faith. Without fear, Oh, there is so much ahead of us. He is bringing that unity together. He is bringing his elect together. He is bringing his body together. His body is Christ on earth. We are part of him. He is part of us. And it is time we understand the depth of this gift. It is time we even understand that we don't have to walk in sin anymore. That devastation has been paid for on the cross, that glorious work that he did on our behalf, God in man on that cross, and then said, it is finished, it is over, I have paid the price for you, I have paid the price for all who will receive it. You can walk with the healing power of my love within you, clean and pure, and that's where the power comes from. It comes from that purity within you. Hallelujah. You have been cleansed. You have been made whole. Oh, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. And we must remember that we are not fighting against people made of flesh and blood. We have that tendency to get angry with individuals, hateful toward them because we think we are fighting against them. We're not, but we're fighting against demonic spirits, spirit beings, spiritual entities without physical bodies. They are real. However, alive and existing in the spirit realm and then entering into individuals, taking in their desires within your soul. The war is over the soul. We have the angels of God and the evil ones fighting over your soul, my soul, the souls of men. And so we have to understand that we're not fighting against flesh and blood. They are only being used at that moment. That's why they and we need redemption. Because these spirits are alive. They do exist in the spirit realm. They're very real, body of Christ. And it's time we stop with our disbelief and realize that the entities that we're fighting in this world is Lucifer and his demons, devils. And to say that there is no power in Satan is not speaking the truth. Because we have given him power at the fall of Adam, Mr. and Mrs. Adam, Adam and Eve. We have granted him the power of this world. Even Jesus said on the mountaintop that he has been given the kingdoms of this nation. How could we say there's no power? Now he's been overcome on the cross, but his power still lies in the deception. And deception is everything. If we are deceived, there is no truth in us. And it won't be your truth and my truth and another truth. No, no. There's only one truth. And that in itself, that false teaching that there is somebody else's truth and your truth is a deception in itself. It's a winning, deceptive power that Satan has unleashed. And how about his power to deceive? You know, it's incredible when you really think about it, to compare Satan's power with that of Jesus' power, of course. It's nothing. It's absolutely nothing. It's like comparing night and day. It has no comparison. Satan pales in comparison to our Lord. And we have received him. So we have to be aware that in our natural strength, we are no match for the deceptive powers of Satan. That's in our natural state. Hear me now. I'm not talking about the supernatural state that we have entered into, but the natural state. However, as we move in the knowledge and strength of our Lord, by the leading of the Holy Spirit, again, Satan is no match for us, none. We're going to look at him in that day and say, is this the puny thing we've been battling against? We're going to be amazed. It was Jesus who defeated Satan at Calvary, not Satan who defeated Christ. And it is Jesus' victory over the devil that gives us victory over the powers of darkness. We have the victory. Praise God. This is not a natural victory, but a supernatural victory. We are fighting against the powers. We are fighting against ranks, much like our military forces that I discussed last time I was on radio with you. We are fighting and beginning to understand and discern the ruling spirits that rule over nations and people. You see, the fighting has to do with almost a military outline. They know exactly what they are doing and are extremely efficient in the diabolical work they do. And what we do here on earth is an imitation of what already existed in the heavenlies, both for good and evil. It has come to this earth in understanding. Devils come in ranks much like our military forces in the natural world. They are well organized, thousands of times better than man's churches today. The book, I so much want us to understand the workings of the evil one, and I have such little understanding compared to what the greater understanding is. But if we move together in unity, we're going to learn together. We're going to grow together. We're going to understand together our foe. And we're going to overcome in a way we never dreamed possible. And again, what do we overcome? We overcome the world. We overcome the flesh. We overcome the devil according to the word of God, because he already overcame for us. All we have to do is receive the truth and believe it with all our heart. We discern who the ruling spirits are, and we need to do that. We need to understand they are the ones that have taken control and brought lesser serving devils along with them. These ruling devils and their followers are given satanic authority over nations, over cities, over organizations, over churches and families. Yes, from generation to generation. And the lesser devils are given authority over individuals. So you see how it works? It is a true military force, our Lord, bringing together a true army, a military force that is his. He said in the latter days he would do that. Now, these ruling spirits and organized spirits go about their areas of assignment seeking opportunity to destroy. He came, the enemy, Satan, to kill, steal, and destroy. And if they can find nothing in you, no sin, they are powerless to enter in and destroy. But if they find sin, this is their open door, and they will attack with all boldness and destructiveness. Now, you could get rid of sin easily, but they will come in boldness and destructiveness, because you have given them the legal rights through sin. And I must repeat this. Only through sin do these spirits control. And they are controlled by Satan, and they do have power to deceive you. And again, let me make it clear when I say that you don't need to sin. The Bible tells us clearly that he already overcame sin on the cross for us. And he has empowered us to overcome sin. And if we find ourselves in sin, all we need to do immediately is say, please forgive me. And then repent from it. Start moving on. And whatever sin we find ourselves in again, do the same. Aren't you sinning less and less from year to year, from month to month, than you were years ago? Yes, And it can be done even more quickly if we understand when we sin and don't let our pride hold on to it. You see, it's all wrapped up in pride, arrogant pride. We don't need it. And in Romans 6, it tells us clearly that we need to become dead to sin and go and sin no more. We can overturn it because the power has been granted to us and the work has been done on the cross to give us that authority. The Lord told us in sin no more, just like he told the woman found in adultery, I forgive you, go and sin no more. It is possible, body of Christ, but you haven't been taught that in the church. Most of us have been taught that we will always sin. It's a lie. It's a deception from the evil one. We need not do that. And if our hearts really desire not to, the work quickens. And if we die to pride, we are achieving great territory. Now, this knowledge about the controlling spirits of Satan must be revealed. It must be revealed to the church. We must know our enemies and the weapons we have to defeat them. This, again, is not taught enough in the body of Christ. Satan has continued to deceive the church and keep it in darkness. In other words, he has weakened and defeated it through deception, through deceiving. But no longer, children of God, we are rising up in his strength and driving back the forces that have so long plagued us. It is past the time that we expose the myths and the deceptions of Satan for what they are. They're powerless, powerless lies. And we're not going to continue in that way, are we? We are going to rise up in wisdom, in knowledge, in understanding. You know, you're not having any terrorist activities come to pass where we live and where you live, if you will stand and say no. It isn't going to happen. You're not going to do it on our territory. You're not going to do it on our land. And I name all the places he is not going to do it. You're not touching my church. You're not touching the body that I know. You are not touching my money, my finances. And I'm ruling and reigning over him each day by praying this way in the morning every day. And when I go to bed at night, I cry out for the blood of Jesus to be upon me, to be upon you. And in the morning, I pray for you that you will begin to know and understand the workings of the enemy and the power that you have been granted. This is the way God will do it if we would only believe. But it is past time that we expose these myths. That's why the Lord told me to write the book and expose the myths and the deceptions of Satan for what they are. They are powerless lies. Don't believe in them. Don't. Worry no more. God has given us a way that is so incredible. Yes, it's a narrow path. And few do come there, but you're going to. Wide is the path to destruction, and many go there, but you're not going to. The Lord has you listening to this program for a purpose, and that purpose is to become the overcomers he called you to be. The power is there to do so. The unity in the Spirit of God is bringing back the greatest knowledge we could ever know. It's going to come in unity, and he is going to draw us together as one. We're going to be one new man in the earth. Oh, a giant of a man, because he has done it for us. Our Lord Jesus Christ has made it possible when he came on this earth as fully man and fully God. And he is saying there will be many, many sons. Oh, body of Christ, it's beautiful to understand and to know. And if you will recall in chapter 10 of the book of Daniel, Daniel asked God for an answer to a specific prayer. He was praying for his people. He was praying for Israel, and he was looking for the release of the captives, as we are doing today. And he prayed to God. He fasted, and he waited patiently for the answer to his petition. And 3 weeks transpired before he finally received the message from the angel Gabriel, that great and mighty angel that is with us even today. He isn't faded out. He'll be continuing on to eternity, as we will too, by the way. And we all remember who the angel Gabriel is. He is God's chief messenger, and he is giving messages today to us. And when he came to announce the birth of his Savior, our Savior, he came, and we celebrated that time last week when he came to do that, to present the Savior to us. As God's messenger, he told Daniel that he had had a difficult time getting through to him. Do you remember why? What did Gabriel tell him? Gabriel told Daniel that he had had to fight the prince of Persia, in which we're still doing today, by the way, who was the spirit commissioned to rule over the country of Persia. Because who is Persia today? He is Iran. We're still battling with that same demonic ruling spirit. And then, thousands of years ago, he told Daniel that he, Gabriel, had to call for Michael, the archangel, to do battle against the devil's spirit. And in the same way, we call upon Michael, the archangel, to do battle against Iran and its great deception, to rule this world through Allah. We have the power, body of Christ, if we remember right. We call upon Gabriel to call for Michael, the archangel, to do battle against the devil's spirit that is ruling over Iran in these days. And we dare say that there is a very great victory coming if those who have decided to rebel against their government, which we know is happening right now, for the cause of democracy, those young people are fighting. They have said, no, we don't want to go this way. Too much money is being spent on ISIS, other groups, Muslim groups who want to war against the world, and we are not being taken care of properly anymore. And they're rising up in rebellion. And we can call upon Gabriel to call upon Michael the archangel to do battle against the devil's spirits there. From this deception, you can imagine the condition which people of that area must have been in. And we too, at this time in this nation, are fighting the demons of darkness. They must have been in great darkness, sin, to be giving this prince spirit of Satan power. But as you know the story, Gabriel did get through with the answer to Daniel's prayer. God always answers when we seek him, which gives us hope for freedom from all opposition now against the church, against the people of God. Gabriel explained to Daniel that God had answered his prayers 3 weeks earlier, but because of the sin of the people, the ruling demonic spirit had the power to prevent the message from coming through sooner. And so in the same way, what are we doing today? We are fighting evil, deceptive spirits, and we're going to continue. But we at least know where we stand. And if you have any questions regarding what you heard today, you can be in touch with me. Just email me at patriciajoyxavier@gmail.com. patriciajoyxavier@email.com. And if you wish to purchase my book, go to Amazon, The Christian Bill of Rights. Amazon, Deliverance, The Christian Bill of Rights. You could purchase it there. God bless you. May God continue to teach you his ways. May God give you his spirit to move powerfully in the earth today. You are loved.